gift of the Holy Ghost is. Somebody said amen. Everybody good? So now I'm done preaching. And I'm about to make the altar appeal. Okay? Now, let me stop here. We addressed this a couple years ago. We need to address it again. And you're doing it, but you're not doing it. Let me just tell you what you're doing. Some people. I get done preaching, and I say, let's all stand. And that's when about six people decide, this is the time I've been waiting for to go use the restroom. I didn't want to go use the restroom when he was preaching because I didn't want to distract. But now that everybody's standing, now I'm going to go use the restroom. It would have been better if you left when I was preaching. That is the absolute worst time you could ever choose to go use the restroom. Okay? That's the worst time. I know some of you do it. You're not doing it on purpose. You just don't necessarily know. So I'm trying to help you. That's the worst time. Because that moment right there, when I say, let's all stand, that moment right there is a very serious and it is a very sensitive moment. And in that moment, we need the least amount of distractions as we can possibly have. Okay? The least amount of distractions. So now this Sunday's appeal might look a little different than other Sundays' appeal, and that's completely fine. They might look different every Sunday. But this Sunday, I will more than likely, I just want to kind of let you know what's going to happen so you can be prepared. This Sunday, I will more than likely have all those that would desire to be filled or refilled with the Holy Ghost to come down front. I may even ask you, turn to the person who brought you or turn to the person that you brought and ask somebody around you if they want this Holy Ghost that the preacher's been talking about and that God has promised to them. Do they want to receive this gift, this precious gift called the Holy Ghost? And if they do, I may do this, to have you ask them that. And if they say yes, then you bring them down. You bring your guest down. You bring your visitor down. You bring your neighbor down. And you come down and say, I'm going to come down and pray with you. Now, hopefully there's a bunch, in Jesus' name, there's going to be a bunch of people up here at that point. And once we're all up here on the altar, I will give instructions on what it looks like to repent. I will give instructions on how to repent, what it looks like to repent, what repentance is, the necessity of repentance in order to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that moment, again, is very important that we don't just sit there as saints, that we don't just sit there and wait for the guests to repent. Okay, so I got him up here now, preacher. Now, okay, he's going to talk to you about repentance. Now, you need to repent, and I'm going to stand here and wait. Okay? Again, we have to model to them what repentance looks like. And the reality is we all just need to repent anyway. It's not that we're saying something that we don't need to do, just so somebody can see how to do it. We all need to repent. And so there needs to be a very powerful moment of repentance that sweeps through this place, okay? And you're going to have to help with that. There needs to be a spirit of repentance that sweeps across this room. So it can't just be, God, forgive me, Jesus, forgive me, Lord, God, forgive me, Jesus. It needs to be very serious, very sincere, okay, in repentance. And so we're going to repent. Atmosphere of repentance is going to sweep the house. And once we've repented, I'm hurrying. Once we've repented, I'll give some instructions for what to do next. In fact, throughout the altar call, I may stop. Everybody, hey, stop. I'm going to give some instruction. This is important. I'm going to throw a lot of stuff at you here in the next few minutes. But I may stop everybody to give instruction, feel led of the Lord to give direction or feel instruction. It is vitally important that when I'm giving instruction, that everyone is listening to me. Okay? Now, that's not just on Pentecost Sunday. That's on all the time. And that's not just me. That's any person in spiritual authority that feels to give direction to the body. It's very important that we are all We stop what we're doing and we listen to the instruction that spiritual authority is given to us. Amen? It's also vitally important that when spiritual authority is giving direction and instruction, no one else is giving instruction. So we've had it before where I have said, let me have all your attention. I feel like I got some direction for the Lord, and somebody's been praying for somebody over here, wherever it was, and they just continue talking to the person and giving instruction to the person. That is out of line. Okay? That is out of line. If I or anybody in spiritual authority says, let me have everyone's attention, we need to give them our attention. Okay? I'm not saying you might not have a word for them or instruction. You just keep it, and that word will still be there after spiritual authority word is done. Somebody said amen. Is that okay? How many know that's causing that would cause confusion? You got some guest, and you're talking in this ear, and I'm talking up here, and they're trying to listen to both. That's confusion. And that's not what that person needs. So we've all repented. I've given instruction about the necessity of worship in order to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We've repented, and now it's time to praise God to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then I'm going to pray the prayer of faith with instructions for all of us that when I conclude the prayer of faith, that we are all going to lift our voices loudly and we're going to begin to praise and worship the Lord. We are going to shout unto God. Again, that is not just for the people needing the Holy Ghost. We need everybody, everybody, everybody to shout, to model, to praise and worship the Lord, to create that atmosphere. It's very important that you do not lay hands on the individual that you've brought up. You do not lay hands on them and begin to pray for them before I pray the prayer of faith. So you come up, you stand beside them. Okay, we'll all repent together. They can hear that. And then I will pray the prayer of faith, and then we will shout unto God, and we will give praise unto the Lord and begin to praise and worship. And at that moment, when we begin to shout and praise God, that's the moment that you are to lay your hands on them and begin to pray with fervency for God to fill them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? Amen. Now, we're going to get into some instructions here now. It's 8:48. I know what time it is. We're going to get into some instruction here now about laying hands on people and working for the Lord in the altars to help somebody have a powerful encounter with the Lord. We're going to try to get through this quickly, but take notes. This is all important stuff. Here's the first thing you have to make sure of before you go lay hands on people. Acts chapter 8, verse 17. Then they put their hands on them and said the Holy Spirit came on them. These are the apostles, and they prayed for people. They laid their hands on them. The Holy Ghost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 18. Now, when Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given through the touch of the apostles' hands, he made them an offering of money, saying, give me this power so that when I put my hands on somebody, that they can also get the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. But Peter said, may your money come to destruction with you, because you have the idea that what is freely given by God may be got for a price. Now watch verse 21. You have no part in this business because your heart is not right before God. The first thing we need to know is that we have no business laying our hands on anyone if our heart is not right with God. Okay? We have no business. If you got aught against somebody, you have no business praying for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost. If you're angry against somebody, you got a bad attitude towards somebody, you don't like somebody, you have no business praying for somebody to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? Is that biblical? We should not be praying for anyone if we have unconfessed sin, if we have unrepented sin. That's why prayer service is so important. Let's get that stuff cleaned up. Let's get that stuff forgiven. Let's go to the brother or the sister and make it right. Let's ask God to help us and forgive us and wash us and cleanse us. Let's get it all taken care of so that when the time comes and there's people whose souls are on the line, God can trust us and use us to lay our hands on them and pray for them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel strongly now about this. You're going to be hindering on Sunday if you got issues against brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you're like, ah, that's not going to affect this. The feeling I have towards the pastor or the feeling I had towards a brother or a sister, that's not going to affect my ability to pray somebody through the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, it will. And you're playing games with somebody's eternity. Somebody else who is prayed up and don't have unrepentant sin in their life, they could be praying for that person, and that person could be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and receive what they need. You understand how serious all this is? So make it right, or don't pray for nobody. Okay? Jesus' name. Again, that's why prayer service is so important. Just get it right. Just do what the Bible tells you to do. I need to do what the Bible tells me to do so that our sin will be covered, forgiven, and then we can pray for people. Amen. Okay, so here's some things we don't want you to do as you pray for somebody, altar working. Here's some things we don't want you to do as you pray for somebody who's seeking the Holy Ghost or seeking a touch from God. Don't yell in their ear. Okay? Just don't. And listen, we're not getting on to anybody. We're just trying to help us. Okay? We're just trying to help us. Now, I don't know if we'll have music or not. But, you know, if we do and there's a bunch of, even if we don't have music, there's a bunch of people praying. And so it can get loud, right? And so whatever you do, don't yell in their ears. Okay? And how many know that could be super distracting? Super distracting to somebody. Don't yell in their ear. Just talk loud enough so they can hear you. Okay? Just loud enough for them to be able to hear you. Okay? You don't have to pat their back. You don't have to massage their shoulders. You don't got to rub up and down on their arms, whatever. Okay? We don't have to do those things. See, here's the thing we have to remember. And as I was putting some of this together, I don't think any of you do that. We just don't think about it. We don't do it to be malicious. We don't do it to hinder. But what happens is we've been in church so long that, like, patting us on the back, we don't even think about it. Right? For the most part, you know, we can have 37 people praying for us. And it's like, it's no big deal, man. I'm thankful for the prayer. But what we have to think about is, what does this look like through the eyes of a guest, not through the eyes of somebody who's been in church for 15 years? That's what you got to think about, because it may be totally normal to us. You know, it's like this. Okay. So, you know, was it last year? Whatever, we did foot washing. Okay, if you've been in church any length of time at all, you talk about foot washing. It's like, okay, yeah, foot washing. But I wish I had a camera up here when I announced foot washing and we had, like, guests in the room. Can you imagine how weird an announcement of foot washing is to somebody who doesn't know nothing about it? That's got to be the most bizarre, crazy thing. And we're just like, okay, yeah, foot washing. See, but if you think, you got to think about it through the eyes of a guest. So this applies to altar working too. Think about it through the eyes of a guest. What they feel, what they think, okay? So don't pat their back, massage their shoulders, whatever. Now, also, you don't have to shake the Holy Ghost into them. Okay? You don't have to shake the Holy Ghost into them. Shaking them harder is only going to hinder them. It's not going to help them. It's just going to hinder them. All right? Another thing is, we don't need to mess their hair up. Okay? God, don't mess my hair up when you pray for me. I mean, I work hard on this. But some people do. Some people actually have hair. And they comb it. And they want to look nice, especially a guest. You know, they're around all these people they don't know. They want to look nice, whatever. And then we're just like, how many know? And there's no way they can concentrate on prayer. No way. And we got to think about all this kind of stuff. Don't mess their hair up. If you're going to anoint them, use oil, not spit. Praise him. Praise him. Come on. And come on, let's just be real. You know, a lot of times in the altar, it's a close contact deal, right? There's a lot of people, and we're trying to get close. Now, think about it. I mean, how in the world is this individual going to pray if they feel like water droplets all over? Come on, I know it's gross, but it's gross for them too. It's gross just me saying it. What is it like to feel it? So, it's going to be distracting. So, do your best. Don't be spitting on people, all right? Don't be spitting on people. Here's another thing. Here's another thing. Don't put words in their mouth. Never, ever, 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 ever say, repeat after me. Okay? Don't ever say that. Don't ever say, repeat after me. Don't ever say, and I don't think anybody would, but I'm just going to say it just in case. Don't ever say something like, say, la, 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 la. You know, because, you know, I've heard people do that because they're like, no, it's not the Holy Ghost, but if you can get them kind of in the right direction of that by saying some of that stuff, maybe they'll slip into the Holy Ghost. I think that one could have went without saying, but I thought, let me just say it. So, don't ever say repeat after me. You can tell them, hey, here's you need to praise God. And some people don't even know what praise words are. So it's totally fine to say, here's a praise word you can use. Hallelujah is the highest form of praise. Say, I love you, Jesus. You can, you know, but don't say, repeat after me. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't do that. And then you just worship along with them. And they hear your worship and they hear your praise and they can begin to follow that and say some of those things as well. Okay? Now, this is very important. This kind of goes back to the shaking stuff. But you got to remember, don't dance and shout and get blessed while you're praying for somebody. You have to remember, this is not about us. Okay? This is about them. And so, you know, and listen, I've been there. I've been there. You get so excited. But, you know, you're come on, Jesus. You know? And you got to just get lost. And you start dancing, shouting everywhere. And this person's like, oh, my, what's going on? How many know the spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet? And so it is that you can rein that stuff in as you're praying for people and understanding that, listen, this isn't about me. It's about this person. It's about this person. Amen. It's not about you getting blessed. It's about them getting blessed. Now, how many, we're going to get blessed anyway, but that's not the point of this. Somebody said amen. So, you get excited and all of a sudden your hand just starts doing that. You know, and again, we're not doing it maliciously. We just get so excited. This person's about to get the Holy Ghost. And we just, their whole body's shaking. And then we wonder like, man, they were so close. I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened. Quickly, as we're moving along, listen, as you're praying for them, you don't need to be singing whatever song's being sung. Okay? Let the singer sing. You just pray. You just pray. The other thing is this. Don't speak in tongues the whole time. Okay? You don't need to speak in tongues the whole time that you're praying for them. Sometimes you have to give them some direction. And you can't give them direction in tongues. Okay? So it's not wrong to speak in tongues. In fact, it can be helpful. But just a little. Here, there, a little bit, praise, worship the Lord. If you want to feel to speak in tongues for a little bit, go ahead. Give direction, give instruction, whatever. But just don't talk in tongues the whole time. It's called Altoids. Cinnamon, spearmint. And it's called Right Guard. Or Sure or Degree. If you're going to pray for somebody, you don't want to stink. And you don't want your breath to stink. All right? So make sure you take care of all that stuff. Now I want to deal with something quickly. And like I said, we don't deal with this stuff all the time. So just hang with me and we'll get out eventually, okay? But I am hurrying. But I want to cover something, and because it's happened in the church, in this church, a couple of different occasions, and so I just want to cover this. Don't get offended at other people that may be working the altars with you. Okay? It's very important that we remember that altar services are not about us. It's not about our ability to give somebody the Holy Ghost or to give some, well, you know, I'm the gifted one in the altars. And so we have, you know, it's almost like a pride thing. And then how many know your heart's not right? You shouldn't probably be praying for people anyway. It's all about that person's encounter with the Lord. That's what the whole thing is about. It's not about who's praying for them. And I've seen these jokers that, you know, they pray for somebody and they fall out. You know, they lay hands on somebody and they fall out, and then the guy turns around like, it's like, what did you do? You didn't do nothing. It was the Holy Ghost. Why are you taking credit for that? You know, like, yeah, look at what I just did. And how many know that's not right? That's not right. And so we can't be offended. We've had people, and right now I promise you I'm not thinking of a particular individual. I promise you I'm not. But we've had people that get offended and have been offended in the past because someone felt led of the Holy Ghost to pray for the person that they were currently praying for. And so they would go up and they'd be like, hey, let me pray for them. And they maybe would feel led of the Holy Ghost to go. They would feel direction, divine direction, to go pray for them. And the person who was currently praying for them got offended. Like, what, am I not good enough to pray for them? It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Now, I would say this. If don't go and pull somebody else off from praying for somebody if you don't fully feel divinely led of the Holy Ghost to do so. But you should be able to tell that person, I feel very strong of the Holy Ghost that I'm supposed to pray for this person right now. And the person who's currently praying for them should say, absolutely. You just step back and you be submitted to your brother or sister in the Lord. Because it's not about, none of us get credit. We don't get credit like, how many did you pray through? Well, I got 437. How many did you pray through? We don't get credit for this because we don't give them the Holy Ghost anyway. He does. So what does it matter if it's my hand or your hand? Doesn't matter. If somebody feels led of the Holy Ghost to pray for them, let them pray for them. Let them pray for them. How many knows? Some, you know, people are just different. And I mean, there's some people I can connect with in prayer and other people I just don't feel like I connect with in prayer. And maybe I have the things I've gone through connect better with certain people. And other people, I haven't gone through some of those things. And maybe Sister Kim has gone through those things, and so she can connect better with that person. I would be wrong, ignorant of me to say, no, I'm going to pray for this person. When she's gone through stuff in her life that could help her pray for that person so much better than I could. I would be out of line. And for sure I'd be out of line if I got offended at her. Right? Now, again, if you're going to do that, you need to have a good reason. You don't just go around, let me pray for her. You need to be able to have a good reason for why you're doing it. But if somebody does that, just trust them. Just trust them. This isn't a competition. It's not a competition. Just trust them. Just trust them. Yeah, come on. You feel it. By all means, have at it. Is that okay? Hallelujah. The other thing is this. Maybe you are doing something wrong. Maybe you are praying for somebody wrong. Okay? shaking, whatever, I don't know. But maybe you are, and somebody comes up and asks you to stop, and they start praying for you. Don't be offended at that. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Now make sure the person is wrong before you stop them. And you might want to get an elder involved in this and say, hey, are you seeing this? Is, you know, whatever, to get some protection there and a covering. But if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I want you to stop, and I'll talk to you after church of why I want you to stop. If they do that, don't get offended. Don't be like, oh, I was trying to pray for the minister and that church doesn't believe in me and they told me to stop, so I'm never going back to the church. That's the worst possible thing you could ever do. You want to know why? Because the next church you're going to go to, you're going to pray for somebody wrong there too. Because you're never going to learn how to do it right. So don't look at it as a negative thing and don't get offended. Look at it and say, you know what? Thank you so much. Thank you for addressing this issue, because I want to be the best altar worker I can possibly be. And if I'm doing something wrong, I want somebody to tell me. And I want somebody to show me how to do it the right way. So thank you so much for stopping me from praying for that person, because the last thing I would ever want to do is hinder somebody from experiencing a touch from God. Do you see the proper attitude to have? Amen. Okay. I know what time it is. Quickly, here we go. I think I'm on second to last page and we'll be done. Instructing a seeker. Here we go. When you're praying for them to receive the Holy Ghost, keep your eyes and your ears open. Don't just be like, oh, Jesus. Don't do that. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. The reason is because you need to know how to help this person, how to instruct this person. You need to know, as we're going to talk a little bit, when to instruct, when to encourage, when to whatever. And the only way you can do that is if your eyes are open, you're watching them, you're watching their body language, you're watching what they're doing, and you're hearing what they're saying. Okay? You cannot help them if you don't know what's going on. So keep your eyes open, keep your ears open. Stay focused on the individual. Number two, listen to what the seeker is saying. I just talked about this. Keep your ears open. But listen to what the seeker is saying. Specifically, are they worshiping the Lord? Listen to that. Are they worshiping the Lord? Are they giving praise unto God? Number three, speak in faith. Be positive. It's okay and it's a good thing to tell them as they're praying, you're doing great. God is so pleased with your worship right now. This is exactly what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. God is getting so much joy from your praise right now. That's the Holy Ghost you're feeling right now. You're not telling them you received the Holy Ghost. You're saying that's the Holy Ghost you feel right now. Encourage them. Speak in faith. How many know, again, for some of these, it's going to be their first time ever praying. Especially for the gift of the Holy Ghost. The first, they don't have a clue how to do this. We've been doing it for 30 years. They don't have a clue. And how many know it's a good thing if they start doing something right for you to say, that's it, that's good. So they're like, okay, I'm doing right. And now they feel confident and comfortable and they can continue down that path until God fills them with the Holy Ghost. Number four, give clear and easy to understand instruction. One person. Not three people giving instruction. One person. One person. That's all it takes. One person. Now listen, I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful that we have so many people that want to pray for people on the altar. That's a good thing to have. But we need to remember that just because we might, I said it earlier, just because we won't mind five people praying for us, that doesn't mean that a guest wouldn't mind. We got to remember that. I don't care if every single one of you surrounded me and laid your hands on me and prayed for you, for me. I wouldn't care at all. But a guest probably would have a problem, some of them at least, with two people or three people or five people coming up and everybody all over them. So we need to think about it through the eyes of a guest. Just have one person lay their hands on them. One person talking to them. One person instructing them. And if you don't feel like you're getting, you know, anywhere, you can get some help, pull somebody in, whatever. But one person. Amen. A lot of times what I'll do is if somebody's praying for them, you can come in beside and just create an atmosphere. Jesus, I love you, Lord. You know, so they're right here and praying for, Jesus, I love you, Lord. That's it. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank God. Whatever. Creating an atmosphere. Or if somebody's praying for them, a lot of times I'll come in and I'll lay my hands on the person who's laying their hands on the person. You know, that's not a problem. Lay your hand on them. You're still transmitting that faith through that individual. That's a good thing to do. Amen. This is also very, very important. When I say give clear instruction, that is not in the form of a 10-minute Bible study. Now, this is very important. I need everybody to hear me. That's not in the form of a 10-minute Bible study. If they need instruction, if they need direction, it's very important that that instruction be quick, concise. Okay, here's what you need to do. Boom, 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 boom. Now let's do it. Give it a minute, 30 seconds, a minute instruction, and then say, all right, let's pray. Okay? And here's the reason why. And I am almost done. But there has been a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, and a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of faith that went into creating an apostolic environment in that moment for that person to pray, not for that person to listen to you for 15 minutes. Does that make sense? Now, you say, well, they need a lot of knowledge. I get it. That's what Bible studies are for. Stay till 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Stay as long as you want. Talk to them after church as long as you want. Instruct them until they're blue in the face. But in that moment, you give short, quick, concise direction and then say, let's pray. That's what that moment is for. It's for prayer, not Bible studies. Does that make sense? Okay. Number 5, stay focused on the seeker that you are praying for. Don't look around. I'm praying for this, and I've been praying for, you know, a minute, and they haven't got it yet. So what's happening over there? Oh, I wonder what's happening. Oh, they're getting loud over there. Let me go over there and get involved in that. No, don't do that. You stay with the person that you are praying for originally. Don't look around. Don't lose interest. How many know if you lose interest, they're going to lose interest? Don't lose it. That's good. That's good. Wherever they are. Other people might be getting the Holy Ghost just like that. Your person might not. But don't get discouraged. Remember, it's not about you. It's about this person. Okay? Don't talk to other people and all that kind of stuff. Don't leave a seeker until they are filled with the Holy Ghost or until they've quit praying. Stay with them. Work with them. Help them. Encourage them. Now, ministry, we may walk around and lay hands and help and all that kind of stuff, but if you're praying for somebody, you stick with them. You help them. You go to war for that person, okay? Go to war for that person until either they quit praying or until they're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Lay hands on the top of the head, top of the shoulder, okay? We need to be very careful about all that. And when we're laying hands, that's very biblical. We're transmitting faith. Again, we need to remember that just because it'd be okay for somebody to come up and touch me in the small of my back doesn't mean it's okay for a guest, okay? And I asked my wife about this, and you maybe you have a difference of opinion on this, but from a lady's perspective, I know I've seen a lot of ladies kind of put your hand right here or whatever. And again, if you've been in church and you know that dear sister and you guys have been friends for 20 years, it's probably okay. But you got to remember from a guest perspective, somebody laying, especially a woman, laying your hand right here, it can be very uncomfortable, okay? And so you need to think about these things and just keep the hands top of the head, top of the shoulders, where there's not going to be any issues and not going to be any problems. Is that good? Okay. Pray out loud with the seeker. Don't scream, but pray out loud. No matter how excited you get, you don't need to scream and yell, but pray so that they can hear you. Again, speak in tongues a little now and then. Let them hear that, but also give instruction and give worship with them. You also want to do this, and there's 12, and I'm on 10. Okay, so we're coming to a close. You want to try to help them overcome any hindrances that they have. This is a part of going to war for this person. Okay, so if their head's down, their arms are in close, they're just like this. No, lift your head, lift your hands. So that's overcoming a hindrance. Help them with that. If their voice is real low and they're just whispering, say, no. You lift up your voice. Lift up your head, lift up your voice. Give God praise. Worship the Lord. If you see them kind of looking around, say, no, let's get focused. Close your eyes. Focus on Jesus right now. Okay? If they're not listening to instructions, try to get their attention. Say, it's very important if you're going to receive the Holy Ghost that you listen and obey what I'm trying to tell you right now. Okay? The other thing is this. Shouting and falling out is not the same as getting the Holy Ghost. Okay? It's not the same. So you need to say, no, listen, why don't you stand up? We'll all shout in a minute. We'll all shout in a minute. But shouting is not the same as getting the Holy Ghost. So let's stop shouting and let's get the Holy Ghost first, and then we'll just all shout together. See what I'm saying? You got to work them through these things, and you need to help them through these things. Everybody say repent. It is absolutely biblically impossible to receive the Holy Ghost if they have not repented. But you cannot receive the Holy Ghost if you keep repenting. You can't get it without it, but you can't get it if you keep doing it either. Because there has to, when that time comes for praise and worship, you need to be praising and worshiping, not asking God over and over and over to forgive you of something he forgave you 4 or 5 minutes ago. Okay? So if you see them and hear them, that's why you got to keep your eyes open, your ears open. If they keep repenting, you say, no. You've already repented for that. God has forgiven you. Now just praise the Lord. Somebody said amen. Oh, hallelujah. When you see the Holy, I'm on 11. We got 12. When you see the Holy Ghost is on the individual, you'll know it. You'll know it. They have stammering lips. They're trembling. They're excited. You see it on their face. You see it in their body. It's hard for them to speak English. At that point, you need to help them. Encourage them. They're so close. Tell them. Say, let your voice out loud. Let your tongue go. Let the Holy Ghost speak through you. This is what we talked about. Allow God to form the words. Doesn't matter what it sounds like. Just let God speak through you. Say these things. Push them. Don't be afraid to speak out loud. Go ahead and speak out loud. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost. Let it out. Let it out. See what I'm saying? Encourage them in those moments. Amen. And then once they've received the Holy Ghost, let us know. Let us know. They got the Holy Ghost. They just got the Holy Ghost. However you want to let us know. Now, don't come up and tell me that they got the Holy Ghost because I thought I heard them maybe say a word. Don't do that. Because the worst thing that we could ever do is tell somebody they got the Holy Ghost when they really didn't. And the truth is, it's too real. It's too real for them to have some fake form of it. Okay? We don't have to try to convince. But if you know they received it, come and tell me, and then I can speak that over, and it builds faith. This one, we just had two get the Holy Ghost, and that builds faith in the room for people to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Stammering lips is not the same as talking in tongues. So don't come to me when the person's got stammering lips. That's not talking in tongues. You got to use wisdom. Somebody said amen. Stand. Thank you. Thanks for hanging in there with me tonight. Appreciate it. And here's the thing as we close. This is great. And this is so very important. If someone is praying, we're going to believe every single one of them are going to get the Holy Ghost. But how many know sometimes some people get it quick. Some people it's a little bit of a journey. What I want you to do, when the person you're praying for, if they pray, if they came down to the front, how many know that's a step closer than what they've ever done before? If they've prayed and cried and repented, if they don't get the Holy Ghost, please don't look at them all dejected. That's the worst thing you could do. You know how that would make them feel so horrible, they'd probably never come back. But when they get done, you need to have the biggest smile on your face. If you can hug them, shake their hand. You prayed so awesome. Wasn't this amazing? This was the greatest. This is wonderful. Whatever. Make them feel so great for the advancement spiritually that they made that day. Because they're going to leave encouraged, and they're going to be like, now I want to go further. They encouraged me to this point, now I want to go further. Somebody said amen. Amen. I want us to pray, but I want us to pray specifically that God, this Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, now till Jesus comes, pray that God would help us to become effective altar workers. Can you do that? Can you lift your voice right now in dismissal? Pray that God would help you to be an effective altar worker.